The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him." We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the Pharisees to the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "Put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about it? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is now that he can see, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind. And they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do not see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
All right, so if there are any children, sorry, I was strict. If there are any children in our audience, would you please come up for the children's sermon? And Kathy, if there's no children, I'm going to have to borrow you. Perfect, 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 perfect. All right, Kellen and Annie, thank you so much for being here. I need you to do me a favor. Take a piece of paper. And that's going to use for later. So right now, I'm going to show you something. And I want you to look at that white space right there. You see that white space? Perfect. Okay, now, I'm going to count to 25. And I want you to stare at this light bulb. Stare at the black part for 25 seconds. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Now I want you to stare at the white thing right there and blink really fast. Blink, 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 blink. Kellen, do you see a light bulb? Annie, did you see a light bulb when you were blinking? Perfect. Now we're going to do one more thing with our eyes. So we're going to play tricks on our eyes. That was trick number one. Trick number two, can you roll up a piece of paper like this and make like a periscope, like you're a pirate and you're looking out to the audience. Here you go. Here you go, Annie. Hold that. All right. So what we're going to do here, we're going to put a hole in our hand. So I want you to look through the paper like this. Look out at the audience. All right, you see your parents? Wave to your parents. Way back there, Mr. Gomert. You see Mr. Gomert? Okay. Now I want you to open up both eyes, and with one eye, keep one eye looking at the hole. Open up both and take your hand right here, Kellen, and put it right next to the periscope. If you do it right, you should be able to see me through your hand. Can you see me through your hand? Perfect, perfect, perfect. So those were optical illusions. And the point of an optical illusion is to trick your eyes into seeing things that are not really there. So in today's story of the gospel, there is a blind man who is really actually blind. And if you're blind, what can't you do? You can't see, can you? All right, so if you're blind, you can't see. And he was sitting on the corner by himself every day, and people noticed him enough in his lifetime to say, "That's the blind man." And so one day when Jesus came across him, Jesus told him, "Take some mud, put on your eyeballs, and then go wash it off at the pool." And so he did. And he went from not being able to see anything to being able to see everything. Do you think he was happy that he could see? Do you think he was grateful that he could see? Perfect. Is that a good thing, what Jesus did? So when the people have heard this, there are several people who are mad at Jesus, and they were mad at the blind man. For no reason. For no reason. They had no good reason to be mad at him. And so, this takes place after the story. Jesus had heard that they threw the blind man out of the church. And Jesus found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The blind man said, "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I can believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him and are in fact speaking with the one who made you see." And the blind man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And so, this is very important to know, is because right now, there's a lot of people who are still blind to Jesus. We know Jesus, right? These people here in the sanctuary know Jesus, and the people listening on the radio, they know Jesus. We can all point to Jesus because we have a picture of him right over there, right? That's Jesus. However, there are some people, Kellen, who will look at that man and say, that's not Jesus. Jesus wasn't real. He was an old man. Jesus didn't live. And those people are like the Pharisees in that they're blind. So they're not blind here in their eyeballs, but they're blind here in their hearts. Even though Jesus performed a miracle, he healed other people, he rose people from the dead, he multiplied fish loaves and bread so he could feed thousands in the crowd, there are some people who will look at him and say, ah, you're not Jesus. We're waiting for somebody else. We're waiting for another person to save us. However, there's only one person who can save us and make us see. Who's that person? Jesus. Jesus is the only one. Jesus can give us sight. He can make our hearts feel a lot better. And most of all, when you are afraid, Jesus is the one who can calm you down. So I thank both of you for being here. You want to say a quick prayer before we go? All right, put your hands together. Dear Jesus, thank you for the gift of sight. Thank you for letting us see you, and thank you for letting us see your Father, your Heavenly Father, God Almighty. Amen. Thank you, thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of my favorite stories here in the gospel lesson today, and there's so many wonderful things in there. One of the main themes is light within this gospel lesson. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Light affects us in different ways. Many times we welcome light. If we go in a dark building, we want to turn on the light so that we can see. Light provides work for us when we are outside during the daytime. Otherwise, if we have to work at night, we have to carry some kind of light with us. Sometimes light is very inviting, such as maybe the warm glow of a campfire on a cool night, or the light streaming out of the stained glass windows of a church at night. Very warm and inviting. Other times we want to shun away from the light, such as when your mom wakes you up to go to school, she flips that light switch and says, get up, get out of bed. What do we want to do? We want to throw those covers right back on our heads. Sometimes we just simply want to modify the light, such as when we are driving down the highway in the late afternoon or evening, we put our visor down. We don't want to look directly into that sun. Or on a sunny day, a lot of times, what do? We put on a hat and we put on our sunglasses. We would just want to modify that light. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Some of those responded very well to that. They were welcoming to that light of Christ. Other people wanted to shun that light, to turn it off, to cancel it, to cover it up, to put it out. And then others simply wanted to modify that light. They were not ready to accept Jesus in all his glory. The story starts out that Jesus was walking with his disciples in the temple courtyard, and Jesus notices the man born blind. So do the disciples. It's amazing that they even noticed him. Again, this is talking about light and being able to see. Most of the time when we see people out on the street, we kind of ignore them. We gloss over them. We don't want to see them. But this man, they did see. Maybe there was some compassion in there. But they asked that question, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents that he was born blind? You see, they tied illness and disease to punishment from God. That God is punishing them with some kind of ailment because they did something wrong. And unfortunately, that may be what we hear from some people with with this coronavirus, that this is God's punishment. He's blasting the world for such sin. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that we are susceptible to disease and to ailments and everything else because of the human condition. Because we have fallen from the grace of God, we are sinful creatures. And so thus we are susceptible to the evils in this world. We are susceptible to the diseases, the pain, and even death. But Jesus sees something different in this man born blind. The disciples weren't able to see it. What Jesus sees in this man born blind is that he is loved by God. That he is a person whom God created. And within that person is that light of God. And so Jesus shines his light so this man can see. As Nick mentioned in the children's sermon, not only with his eyes, but also with his heart as well then too. This man is able to see. Jesus heals this man. It's kind of interesting how he does it. There's a number of different ironies within this whole story, and that's why I think it's one of my favorite stories. There's ironies in here. If you think about it, Jesus spit in the dirt, he makes the mud, and what's he do? He covers the eyes in order to open the eyes. Kind of backwards it almost sounds. And there's a wonderful play on words right here in that gospel lesson then too. So after Jesus covers his eyes, he tells the man, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Now the play on words here is, Jesus sent the man to Siloam, and the Siloam actually means sent. So he sent the man to the pool named Sent, and it's called Siloam or Sent because the water has been sent there from a spring which is outside the city walls that goes through the tunnel of Hezekiah and is sent then into this pool. So Jesus has sent the man to the pool named Sent from water which has been sent, and later on in the gospel then, Jesus sends this man out to shine that light of Christ. It's also interesting in here then, the progression. This blind man is now able to see. He was blind, but now he is able to see. And it's evident within the story, and actually that his sight grows within this story. At first, when he's questioned about Jesus, he calls Jesus the man who was named Jesus. As he's questioned more, he says he is a prophet. As he's questioned even more, he says he is the one who is sent from God. And at the very end of the story, this man calls Jesus Lord and worships him. That light grows. That faith grows. Even when we are tested, even when we go through trials, even when we are contested, our faith still can grow. We never know we're kind of in the dark right now with what's going on here in the United States and within the world. This is all new to us. We're in the dark. But even in the midst of strange times, of new times, of hard times, of even disastrous times, God is still able to work. We are in the midst of Lent right now as well too. And so our focus is upon that cross. And if you think about the devastation of what, what Jesus actually went through as he moved towards the cross and then as he suffered on that cross, how gruesome, how terrible that was, the injustice and all the things that went on with that. But God did his greatest work through that great tragedy. In the midst of all this that's going on here, we may be somewhat in the dark. This is new. We're stepping on new ground. But yet, still, we can look towards that light of Christ, who is the light of the world, and know that God is still present. He is still here among us. He sees us and where we are in our plight. And he will bring us through this. This blind man welcomes this light of Christ. His neighbors, not so much. And they take him then to the Pharisees. The Pharisees at first, they're in the dark. They're somewhat confused. This is new to them. How can, they're confused because Jesus, this took place on the Sabbath. Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and making mud, molding it together and all that is like making bread dough. And that is considered work, which you are not supposed to do on the Sabbath. And so Jesus, in their eyes, as they see it, is breaking the law. And so he is a sinner. And so they are confused. How can Jesus, a sinner, do something that comes from God? And so they're arguing amongst each other. And so they ask the man at this point then. And the man says, he's a prophet. He did it to me. He tells them the story and he says he's a prophet. But they do not believe. They don't want to believe. They are blind. And again, another irony within this story. Here you have the religious leaders, the one who are able, who are supposed to be the most able to see God, to see God's plan, to see what God has in store or action for the people. Here's the religious leaders. They are the one who are supposed to have clear vision. And yet, they are the ones who are blind. And then, so the Pharisees are divided on this, or they're arguing amongst each other, or they can't understand it, they're confused. And so they pull in the parents just to get some clarity, to make sure that this is not some kind of hoax. And so they question the parents. And the parents say, yes, this is our son. But no, we don't know how he got healed, how he is able to see now. Ask him. The parents see what has happened. They can see that light of Christ, that light that has healed their son and has given their son a wonderful gift. The son can now see what we take for granted. They see this light of Christ, but yet they try to modify. They put shades on their eyes. They put a hat over their head. They throw the covers over their face. They're not ready to commit. They're not ready to believe. A lot of times that's us too. We see what God can do in our lives. We see what God has done in our lives. We see what God has done in other people's lives. But yet we focus only on ourselves. And I think that's part of the problem in this crisis right now. We focus on ourselves. We have had mandates that have come out of the White House and the CDC and also the governor's office of this is how we should handle it. We need to stay away from each other. Do not go out unless it's absolutely necessary that you go out. We still want this country to run. We still want people to have services. But at the same time, do whatever you can to limit the spread of this virus. Some people say, there's nothing to this. I won't get it. And even if I do get it, I'm healthy. I'm not going to die from it. But again, too, an attitude like that is thinking only about me, of who I am. Personally, I don't want to get this disease. But I would feel even worse if I did get it and did not know that I had it and I passed it on to someone else. I don't want to be responsible for that. But people a lot of times are thinking only of themselves. What do they want? Well, I need to grab everything I can from the store, no matter if somebody else needs it. We think only of ourselves. Parents were thinking only of themselves Because if they said, yes, this is our son, and Jesus healed him, Jesus is from God, Jesus is the light of the world, they would have been kicked out of the synagogue. They would have been shunned. Probably people would not have done business with them anymore. Their life would have changed drastically. They wanted to cling to what they knew. And so they put blinders on. They covered their eyes. With God's help, we can get through all of this. We simply turn our eyes to that light of the world. We let that light shine upon us. Once again, we are in the middle of Lent. It's also important to notice that last week we heard the story of the woman at the well and how she saw the light of the world, or that Jesus quenched their thirst with living water. Today we hear the story of this blind man, and people see that light of the world. Next week we hear the story of Jesus raising Lazarus out of the tomb, and all of this is growing closer to that passion of Christ going to that cross and raising once again from the dead. When Jesus did go to the cross, he was raised up. He was raised up. And again, an irony in all of this. He was raised up on a hill as a sign of punishment. That's the way the Roman government did it. They put their criminals, they hung them on the cross in the most visible place in that community so people could see, this is what we do to traitors. This is what we do to the worst of our criminals. In Jerusalem, they put him on top of the hill, and in many of the other cities around in the Roman Empire, they would put him in the main highways coming into town, so any travelers coming in would be reminded. They would see what they do. The irony for us is that we look at Jesus crucified as the light of the world, of what God is willing to do for us. God does not abandon us at any time. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.